All right, here we are, live on Radio Row, Washington, D.C., 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire event put on by FAIR. We now welcome on and are thrilled to say good morning to Chad Wolf. He's joining us on KCMO, former Secretary of Homeland Security. Chad, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Take me through what you have been doing since your time with the administration, and we talked a little bit about it off the air, but the importance of having voices like yours out there right now when there's so much that's happening specifically with Homeland Security that's just not being covered.
Well, absolutely. So I'm working with a group called America First Policy Institute. I'm the chairman of their Homeland Security and Immigration Center there. And so we're talking about a lot of America First policies in not only in immigration and border security, but cybersecurity, terrorism. What should the federal government be doing to protect Americans each and every day? So we're talking about a lot of the things that we did over the last 4 years. And then we're holding the current administration accountable to some of their missteps, to some of the things that they are not doing correctly, in our view. And we're talking about that. We're talking about it, you know, people like you on radio, but also TV and elsewhere, because it's important to have conservative voices out there. I don't think that we do a good enough job once we leave government service, like some on the left do. They have a number of organizations that they go to, and they continue to talk about some of their policies and about their positions, and I think we need a counter to that. So that's what America First is all about.
And they push those policies and continue to harp in on what they think is the importance of those policies, right, which is what you're doing. Now, when you see Secretary Mayorkas now in charge, and he's doing what he's been doing the last couple of weeks, let's say, especially with the whole horse drama, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Border Patrol, the horse drama, and kind of how that played out the last week or so.
Well, it's very difficult to watch at the end of the day. I think some of the comments that both the president, the vice president, as well as the secretary made were over the top, were irresponsible, and very just, I would say, dangerous. You can't make those comments when you have the largest law enforcement agency in the country, which is DHS at the end of the day, over around 80,000 law enforcement officers in the department, a lot of them in Border Patrol. And those guys have been on the line every day for 8 months in the middle of a crisis, doing a very difficult job. You're not giving them the resources such as a border wall system, Remain in Mexico program, and a variety of other. You're not giving them the resources to do their job. And when they do try to do it, you come out and attack them without any evidence. So I keep saying that the vice president, the president, Secretary Mayorkas owes each and every Border Patrol officer an apology. They need to deliver that, and they need to stand up for the men and women that are doing the job and protecting Americans every day.
When you were in this position, what was the direction from President Trump specific to your role, Homeland Security, on the border? What was that, and how did that frame, you know, your vision of what you had to do in your day-to-day?
It was a couple of things. Fix the system. Fix the broken system, and make sure that you're upholding the rule of law. That if individuals choose to knowingly break the law, that there are consequences to that. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what law enforcement is about, right? You and I don't speed in our neighborhoods at 90 miles an hour because, one, we could kill someone, but two, we'll probably get our license revoked and we need a license to do, you know, to drive. But people that cross the border, there are no consequences right now. And so you're going to continue to see this steady stream of individuals coming across. And then that has a whole variety of effects on Americans and American communities. So President Trump, you know, direction was get it under control, fix it. You know, this is an issue where we talk about border security and immigration enforcement. It's tough. It's complicated. And politicians usually don't want to make tough choices because you're going to anger one part of the country over the other. But again, President Trump didn't care much about that. He just wanted the system to be fixed. And so that's what we...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
We set off to do.
And how much, I mean, your hands were tied at times in terms of how much you could do without Congress, right? So how much more difficult does that make your job when all you're trying to do is enforce the law?
Well, it makes it extremely difficult. We tried to work with Congress in 2017 and 18 to pass reform. They couldn't get it done. The president got frustrated at that. And so we set about looking at authorities that we already had, that Congress's, previous Congresses had already given the executive branch, but perhaps had never been used before. And we found a lot of those authorities, and we went about trying to execute those and bring this crisis, the crisis that we had in 19 and then in 20, under control. And we were able to do that. It wasn't easy. It took many, many months of setting things up in place, such as getting, you know, 450 miles of effective border wall systems up and running.
Yeah.
Remain in Mexico program, asylum cooperative agreements, and the list goes on and on. That didn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of hard work. And unfortunately, this administration, without any analysis, without any assessment, came in and canceled all of that. And I think it's the result is the crisis that you see today.
What's the story behind how Remain in Mexico policy came to be? Were you a part of that? How did that come to be?
Yeah. So we were going back looking at a lot of different authorities that in the Immigration and Nationality Act, which sort of governs immigration law and mm-hmm. how you treat different classes of individuals. And we saw this provision in there that said that you could have individuals stay in a safe third country while their asylum claim was being adjudicated. And we said, oh, well, that's interesting. We've never done that here in the United States, but Congress gave us the authority to do that. And so that's how the Remain in Mexico program came into effect. And we did it for a couple of different reasons. One is there's a lot of fraud in the system. And so individuals that truly need asylum protections,
yeah,
that are truly they don't get that protection until years from now because they get in the middle of this system where it's a huge backlog, 600,000 backlog. And so the idea was to get the people that really need it the protection quickly mm-hmm. and to root out the fraud or the 85% of folks that never qualify for asylum. How do we get them out of the system? Well, let's have them wait in Mexico, because if you're truly fleeing for your life, you don't mind waiting in Mexico because you're safe there mm-hmm. and you're eventually going to get before an immigration judge. But guess what? If you have a fraudulent asylum claim and you know it's fraudulent, you don't want to wait in Mexico.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
last thing you want to do because your goal is to get in the United States. And so what we saw is people leaving that program, going back to their home countries that they were afraid of mm-hmm. because they're not really being persecuted at the end of the day. Look, the vast majority of folks that you see cross that border are economic migrants. They want a job and they want a better life, which I don't disagree with them, but there's a legal way to do that.
Yeah.
And if you choose to break the law, there needs to be a consequence. And right now, with the catch and release program that the Biden administration is implementing, there are no consequences to it.
I know you've got an interview here coming up in a couple minutes, but to follow up on that, how hard was it to get Mexico to play ball with you guys on that Remain in Mexico policy?
So it was difficult, but I think what's important that, you know, a lot of people, you know, sort of gloss over is that the Remain in Mexico policy is actually implemented by the United States. It's not an international agreement at the end of the day. Yes, we need Mexico to do their part, absolutely, but it's not this big treaty that was negotiated.
Yeah.
This is sovereign actions that the United States took, and Mexico has an obligation to make sure that those individuals that are waiting for asylum are taken care of, are protected, have facilities, on and on and on. So this idea that the Biden administration needs to engage in long, lengthy discussions with Mexico to get that program up and running is not accurate. We have the ability to remove people every single day from the United States because they have no legal right to be here, whether Mexico likes it or not, or whether other countries like it or not. That's part of their duties as a sovereign nation, to take back their nationals or to take back other individuals who've been in their country for weeks at a time.
Interesting. Chad Wolf, former Secretary of Homeland Security on KCMO Talk Radio in Kansas City. Chad, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.